Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be here to share with you tonight. Just thankful to Brother Paul for letting me share a few words. As you might know, I have been teaching in China for about 3 years. I'm with an organization called ELIC, English Language Institute China. It also has other teachers in different other Asian countries, which is really exciting. But I've been in China for 3 years, teaching at a university, and teaching mostly oral English to freshman and sophomore English majors, taught a little cross-cultural communication, writing, and business writing, which I totally wasn't prepared for, but that's a story on its own. But yeah, it's hard to sum up 3 years, and it's hard to sum up the things that I've been learning as I've gone along, and just can't even describe God's faithfulness, but I'll try to do my best in just a few minutes. Most people, when I get back from China, will be like, oh, how's China? And I'll say, good. Like, trying to see what they want to know. Or, what's it like in China? And I say, very different, very different. I was just thinking back, you know, when Brother Paul asked me to share something from China, I'm like, I'm surrounded by 10-year-old girls. I can't even bring my mind back. But just thinking back, you know, it's every day you learn something new. It's such a different world, a different worldview, you know, and God's working there, but even day-to-day things can be a little bit of a struggle, you know, and you're always learning. So I was just thinking about probably 1 or 2 weeks before I left, been there for 3 years, think I know something about China, and I asked my students as one of their conversation questions, you know, what cultural things, what rules might you tell to a new person, a new foreigner, right, that's coming, just came to China, what do they need to know so that they can, you know, be part of the culture and not be disrespectful? And they said, well, you know, they told many things. One thing, you can't give a clock as a present to someone because a clock represents death, right, or time ticking, right, towards death. So you can't give a clock. That would be very disrespectful or rude. Another thing I learned 2 weeks before I left is you should not cut a pear and share it with your friend, because Chinese word for pear or cutting a pear means separation, or it's very similar to the word separation. So these things are very, they pay attention to. And my student told me that, and I thought back in my mind, I said, oh man, I can think of multiple occasions when I have done that. So, you know, students who've come over, oh, let's eat a snack together, cut up a pear, you know. So it's just, I've learned a lot, but I realize there's always something new to learn. So just, it's really hard to sum up, but just a different system, a different worldview. One other instance is they have a very different concept of time or also asking you to do something, right? There's a lot of structure, right? You know who's on top, you know who you're under and who you're over, right? And if someone who's over you asks you to do something, you say yes, right? Whatever you need to do. And, you know, I was going to this convention that my school asked me to go to for foreign teachers. And I think it was late the night before the whole meeting convention, the foreign affairs guy, I'll call him, he's the one who kind of helps out the foreign teachers, said, the person that's going to give one of the speeches tomorrow, he can't make it. So we'd like you to give a speech, 8 to 10 minutes. And I said, really? So again, that was just an instance. I woke up early. I started writing this speech about, you know, teaching in China, you know, something inspirational. And then 10 o'clock, halfway through this meeting, they said, oh, actually, we won't need you. It's okay. No speech. I'm like, all right. You know, you just got to go with the flow. And I've definitely learned that. And it's sometimes kind of like that with the Christian life. I was thinking how God, you know, you never know what's around the next bend. And to be truly happy, to be truly satisfied with life, it's not about planning everything out the way you thought it was, but whatever God has, you just say yes. Not easy, but always the reward in the end. And There's so much that I could share, but I just wanted to share just a few stories about my time in China, maybe more this past year. And I know I've written not good enough, but I've tried to write some updates that maybe some of you might have gotten in emails or letters. But I just want to share just a couple stories that I of students that I've interacted with. The everydayness or the struggles, the challenges, sometimes can get a little bit, well, every day, right? You kind of forget, or, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, what God wants you to be doing in that situation. And sometimes God needs to remind me when I'm talking to a student or when I'm interacting that he's got a plan. And just thinking back to just a few students that I can remember God showing me something about his plan in China. And it doesn't look the same for all of the students I interact with. Many of them, I'll say something in class, I'll try to be friendly outside, invite them over to my house to chat in English, and you know, they smile, they're appreciative, and they leave, right? And you have hundreds of students going through your house, and sometimes I'm like, does it matter? You know, and the first one I want to share about is one girl, maybe I've shared about her before, Bernice. I had her in my class the first year I was there, right? So over 3 years, I've had repeated interactions with her, and I remember actually being really excited because I actually got to introduce her to the Bible. I said, oh, this is the Bible. There are 66 books. Actually, it's like a library, you know, and she just kind of nodded, you know, and just went her way, you know, and over time, I got to share a little more, and she graduated, but she came back, and she asked if she could sleep on my couch. And I was like, sure, you know, you're going to stay for the weekend. That's okay. And she, you know, ended up watching the Jesus film with me. And she started asking a few more questions. I got to share a little bit of my own testimony, you know. And then she would go, okay, and leave, right? Or another time, talk to my roommate. She shared a little bit with her. Okay, and leave. And I said, God, is there anything happening with her, you know? And again, you know, just before I left, she's like, she called me and she said, I know you're going to leave and I just wanted to say goodbye. I just wanted to talk to you over time. And we talked for a few minutes and then she's like, I know you are very nice and kind. Were you nice and kind before you got saved, before you became a Christian? Or was it after? And I tried to say, you know, I don't know what you see, but I hope it's God in me, you know? And she's like, okay, you know? And still, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with her. But again, seeds planted that we don't know. And, you know, just thinking about that and how each one of us is on our own mission field. And sometimes we don't know, you know, but I know that God's doing something in her heart because she just keeps coming back and thinking about it. She's one of those deep thinkers. Right. And she, and I know by God's grace, when she makes that decision, it will be for real, you know, and deep and meaningful. And the second one I'd like to share with you is about a girl that I've only known for 1 year. She was a class monitor. They do things differently in Chinese education systems. They have a class monitor, and they are still all in one class, and they all have the same class at the same time. So it's not like we do. And I try to explain that to them that, you know, university life in America is very different, but for them, they, you know, they're all in one class and they have a monitor, and you know, their monitor has responsible for their behavior, and yeah, very controlled. So anyway, this girl was a freshman this past year, and very friendly girl. Her English was not the greatest, but you know, she liked to talk, and you know, kind of, I thought, you know, had good social skills, and until very recently, you know, there wasn't anything for me to think that she had more spiritual interests until she came up to me randomly during a class break. And I usually when I teach a class, it's like 2 hours. And in the middle, there's a 10-minute break. And so during this 10 minutes, she just randomly comes up to me and said, I had nightmares last night. I couldn't sleep. And it took me a while to figure out what she was talking about. But apparently, she'd been listening to something that connected with some Chinese folk religion or Buddhism that was supposed to somehow enhance you spiritually. And I was like, where did you get this? She said, a teacher gave it to me. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought, you know. So she's like, I'm never listening to that again. I got nightmares. But in my heart, I was like, oh, she has some kind of spiritual interest because somehow this teacher gave it to her and she was listening to it. So I was able to talk to another girl who's a foreigner. She's a foreign Chinese student. And I said, oh, this girl, who happened to be joining a program that you get to go to America and work and improve your English as you're in America. So experience American life. And so I knew they were going to be very close to where she lived. So this student, I said, okay, let me hook her up with this student, because this student was actually part of another evangelistic organization who cannot be named. And I said, you know, why don't you meet her? She can tell you about where you're going to be, you know, things like that. So they very joyfully met up. And I told the foreigner student, you know, she's very spiritually interested. I shouldn't say very, but there's some spiritual interest there. You know, and she's thinking about it, at least, because some students don't even think about it. You know, everyone's on a journey. So she was able to talk with her and spend more time with her and kind of mentor her a little bit, kind of answer questions and prepare her for her time in America, but also got to share the gospel with her. And she was she accepted it right away. She's like, how can I be a Christian? Right? And she accepted the Lord very quickly. And they actually baptized her. So even though I wasn't the one who actually got to do it, I was so happy, because she's a monitor in a class. She's influential, and she's going to America, and she'll be back next year, you know, in the same class. But, you know, this was an example of, you know, seed on good ground that sprung up quickly. So, you know, I know that we need to pray for her. She's in America now. She has contact with this student, but just that she would grow. And I got to introduce her, actually, to two students from a Chinese student fellowship that we've had a lot of contact with, myself and the other foreign teachers. And that leads me to the last story I'd like to tell, right? So I introduced her, I had the pleasure and privilege of introducing her to some students that I knew. And another facet of what we do in China is to connect with the local student body. Not officially, we don't go to any of their meetings, but we're allowed to just, you know, talk with them and try to facilitate more relationships, so that if we can, we can disciple them, and we can also introduce students that are seeking right into a local body. So we introduce her to two girls named Sabrina and Jojo. And Sabrina and Jojo, those are their English names for our English class, because I can't memorize all these Chinese names, got saved or made their decision about a year ago, one a little bit before the other, and actually they were roommates, and the one brought the other one, and the other one made a decision. And I had no part in that, except I was teaching them, and I was praying for the class, but they themselves went to this fellowship and received Jesus. And I'll just tell you about Sabrina. Well, I should say, my roommate and I got to disciple Sabrina and Jojo. And so we've been going through a study of how they can grow in their faith. What are the foundational things? How can they share their faith? And Sabrina told me a little bit more about her story as we've been studying. You know, we got closer, and she told me, you know, the mother I grew up with is not really my mother, you know, and because of the one-child policy, I had to be... she had to kind of grow up with another family, because the first family didn't want her because she wasn't a boy. So she grew up with kind of an aunt, and then realized later in life that this was her mother, her birth mother, and still had a kind of relationship. But she said, you know, I never really felt a love or acceptance from either one. I don't truly feel like I belong, because I know one is not my real mother, or, you know, things like that. And you know, she said, one of the reasons I came to Christ was something about, you know, not feeling that acceptance. And she'd found a boyfriend and it didn't work out. And she was just at a really low place. And then when her friend told her about Christ, you know, she went to the services and she felt this love and she felt this peace and this joy. And she said she wanted it for herself. And so she was able to gradually, after weeks of going to the student fellowship, make that decision on her own. And by God's grace, she doesn't harbor any true bitterness about it. But she's only now learning real love and acceptance from our Father, from God our Father. And it was just such a pleasure to work with, or just to have a relationship with these two girls that were so like a sponge. You know, whatever you could teach them, whatever experiences you could relate, whatever thing you could show them in the Bible, they were just soaking it all in. And I think during the everydayness of doing lots and interacting with a lot of people and just not seeing a lot of fruit, it was so encouraging that once a week these two girls would come to my house and we would share, you know, food with them, and I sometimes cut up pears. But they forgave me for that because they didn't mention it. And, you know, and just to be able to share with them and the stories they would tell about their fellowship, you know, the growth, more students coming, how they would, you know, plan an outreach during Christmas or go out and evangelize in the university town or just so many different things where I was just amazed that, you know, it wasn't any of the foreign teachers, really. I mean, throughout the years, we've played kind of a supportive role, but it was this group of students that God was raising up to share with each other. And that a previous foreign teacher had mentored one of the students that brought the first girl, and the first girl brought the second girl. And then we were able to introduce Nancy, the girl I told you about that had just accepted the Lord, to them, you know? And so it's like a chain. And I'm just so blessed that even though God doesn't always show us what we do or you know, what are the outcomes, what is the fruit of our labor, sometimes we can see it. And over the years, I've had experiences with teachers who could tell many, many more stories, but I could just see that. You know, even at the end of my 3 years, I, you know, thinking that, you know, was it worth it? You know, would I come back? The answer is yes, definitely. If God calls me back, I will. You know, right now has me back in the States, but, you know, he could call me, he could call you. You know, you never know. But just to see that God's work is not in vain. When you do something for the Lord, he's got it. He's got the increase and multiplying of what little we can sow. And so I'm just so thankful for, you know, just a glimpse of his work in the Chinese church. It's growing. We hear stories every day, you know, different places. It's not easy. Of course, there's persecution, but by God's grace, seeds are continually sown and there's harvest being reaped. And I just want to encourage you guys, wherever you are, whatever, you know, seeds you're sowing, and maybe there's no answers to prayer yet, God's working. And I can say he's been faithful to me. And I know you have many stories yourself. Actually, I just wanted to share something unrelated to China about camp, because you guys are here serving at camp. And I feel a little guilty, Sister Min. I didn't realize I was supposed to say something about the village on Saturday, so I kind of was decompressing out on Watch Rock as I was supposed to be in here. But just that, you know, everywhere we are is a ministry or a mission field. And maybe you don't see it, but I got to see something really cool from the work that the counselors and all of you support in the girls. Last year, there was a girl who had never gone to church before, didn't really know anything. Actually, quite a few girls that year. And, you know, throughout the week, she was hearing things, you know, and her actually, she had some friends who had brought her to camp. And so they were telling her things, and she was hearing things in the meetings. And finally, one altar call, she gave her heart to the Lord. And it was really awesome. But what happens when when campers go back to their homes during the year? Her family's not Christian, you know, they don't go to church. But this year she came back and she was in my cabin. And so she got to share with me a little bit more that after she went home, she started going to a church with her friends, and she's really growing. And this year, it's just so amazing to see the things she says and how she participates, and just that, you know, God has given her such a love for his word. She's very avid reader, and today she told me she finished Pilgrim's Progress, you know, and I was explaining different vocabulary words she was meaning, but just soaking everything in, you know. And sometimes it's hard, because again, you don't know, campers come one year, don't come the next, you know, or maybe have the Christian influence at home or not. And sometimes you wonder, is it worth it? Is it, you know, is there fruit? And I was just so privileged and honored to see, wow, here's a girl who last year at this time knew nothing, and now she's growing in the Lord. you know, and our work is not in vain. So I just praise God for that. And just thank you all for your support, both prayer and financially. And I know God's continuing to work. And if you ever feel the call to China or any other Southeast Asian country or Northeast Asian country, I can tell you about ELIC. There's always other places. I got to put in my plug because I'm not going back myself. But the harvest is plentiful. So just thank you for your support and for your prayers. It really means a lot. And just to hopefully I gave you a glimpse of what God's doing. He's working. Just thank you for that.
Father, we thank you for your work that's going on all over the world.
We know
the Spirit of God is moving throughout the earth. And we believe you, Lord Jesus, that you, according to your great will, we desire that none should perish, but we ask that many will be swept into the kingdom of God. We know, Lord, that you can work in many different ways. We thank you that you are not limited. It doesn't have to be just the way we think it may be, or perhaps even what we are used to. But Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is speaking and you are working. We pray that you will continue to work throughout the earth, even as you're working here at Pilgrim Camp. We ask that many will become members of the family of God, children, sons and daughters of God, as many as received him. To them he gave the right to become children of God. We thank you for these testimonies, Lord. We thank you for the encouragement. We ask, Lord, for those who are serving you now on the mission field. We ask, Lord, we know there are literally thousands of them, most of whom we don't know, but Lord, you know them. You know every single one. We ask that you will encourage them. We ask that you will empower them by your Holy Spirit, and we ask that there will be fruit. We ask that it will be fruit that will remain, fruit that will grow, that will mature, and bear their own fruit. And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this. We thank you for our sister, for her willingness to serve you. We pray that you will lead her, that you will guide her each step of her journey. We thank you for her willingness. And Lord, we know that that's the prerequisite, simply to be willing, to be used. And so we ask that you will lead her and continue to use her. And certainly we continue to pray for both she and all of the counselors down in the village and in the cottage. We ask you to continue to use them, speak through them, love through them. All that you desire, Lord, that those girls may be drawn after Jesus. We're glad that we can pray for them tonight because we know we're coming to a great God who can do all things. And so we trust you tonight. We believe you. And we add our faith to theirs. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.